Hi guys, today is Friday, and if you're new to this channel, my name is Gail Manasek with City Changers Illinois. If you'd like to join us, we do have service here. We have service at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, and it has been amazing lately. We're a Morningstar family group from North Carolina, streaming in Morningstar Ministry by Rick Joyner, Chris Reed. Thank you for joining me here today, right now. I'm going to be talking about strength and weakness and how we get strength when we're weak. The Bible actually says, when we are weak, then are we strong. But Paul, one of our early church Christians, New Testament Christian, Paul of Tarsus, you know him by that name maybe, he knew this well. He experienced all kinds of hardship. He experienced all sorts of trauma. This guy was beaten, he was stoned, and he was shipwrecked, all the while being on the most wanted list of the Gentiles and the Jews, right? Jews were desiring him at the same time the Gentiles were. He was a tough guy. No one would challenge him because of that tough guy feeling, you know, around him. He didn't boast about his strength. He didn't boast about anything except Jesus. But he did boast at times about his weakness. In 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10, Paul says, "But he, God, said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.' That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak," here is the exact scripture. I don't know what I was thinking. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. He says, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." And, you know, I've found that to be true in my own life. And, you know, you think about why? Why can't we just be strong all the time? But you know what? We're strong when we're weak. We are the strongest when we're weak because we are seeking, searching, spending more time in prayer, spending time in fasting, and we are much stronger at that time when we're experiencing these insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. Despite all Paul had been through, he still recognized that he only stood a fighting chance if he let his guard down. Humility, it invites others to help us. But let me tell you, pride pushes people away. Humility will permit God to enter into our situation, our trouble, our trial, our life, period. Pride says, "I can do it alone." Humility listens to wise counsel. And then pride rejects the advice of others. Humility leads to healing. Pride leads to destruction. As we look at Proverbs 16:18. See if I can pull that up. Well, maybe not. Make a note of that. Proverbs 16:18. Humility leads to healing. Pride leads to destruction. So the humility required to heal from trauma is basically a risk or reward scenario. You have to be willing to put yourself in someone else's hands. You have to be willing to entrust them with your story in order to build the loving relationship that you're going to need in order to heal. It's not easy, and it's the total opposite of what your brain might be telling you to do. We can't listen to our brain all the time. We got to turn off self-talk many times and pray and listen unto the Lord and what the heart of the Lord is saying to us. In our openness and our vulnerability, these are the things actually that our heart needs in order to heal. So in finding strength in our weakness, yes, our heart does need to heal. But we've got to do it God's way. And God says when we are weak, then are we strong. And then as I close, as you see pride as a barrier to your healing, just think about this for a minute. What is one of the actions you could take this week that would just foster humility and vulnerability? Let's take a good look at that.